If you have a Bible, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to read verse 35 through to verse 44. This is God's word. But someone might ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish! What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies, but the splendour of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendour of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendour, the moon another, and the stars another, and star differs from star in splendour. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonour, it is raised with glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Amen. May God bless to us the public reading of his word. I want to be open and transparent this morning. I want to let you know from the very beginning what we are thinking about. We're actually going to think about death. Now you might think, I thought this was Hope Church Harvest Celebration and the preacher is talking about death. That doesn't sound too much like a celebration to me. Well, if that's your thought, just hold on a few moments, because what we're going to actually see from these verses is we have great reason for celebration this morning if we are in Christ Jesus. If you talk to a lot of people about death, so if you just stop someone on the street, and it would be quite a sobering conversation, wouldn't it? But if you just ask someone about death, you would soon see there is loads of confusion out there. There's also quite a lot of wishful thinking. One of the comments you will undoubtedly hear would be, well, I'd like to think. Or someone else might say to you, you can't know, can you? Someone else might say, well, isn't that just it at the end? All very final. That's it, it's all over. But actually, I want to tell you this morning that we can know what happens after death. In fact, God is so keen for you to know what happens next that he has made harvest as a great big signpost or neon light showing us exactly what happens when we die. You've seen them, haven't you? Those great big neon signs, great big flashing lights trying to get your attention. Perhaps you see them at the fish and chip shop or somewhere else. Well, God in harvest in the same way is trying to get your attention. He wants you to know for certain about some really important things. We read from the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a church, to people just like you and me. And in that church, there were some people saying that basically, when you are dead, you are dead. That's it. There's no such thing as a resurrection. There is nothing after. But Paul said that is simply not true. And in the verses that we read and the surrounding verses, Paul gave several reasons that he could use to prove that there is such a thing as a resurrection, or put differently, there is life after death. And one of those things he refers to is harvest, or the whole process surrounding harvest. So harvest is a time of year when we stop and say thank you to God for all the wonderful things that we enjoy. We stop and say thank you to God for all his provision, the way he provides for our physical life. Harvest also reminds us that God is faithful. It tells us something about his character. Already this morning we've sung the classic hymn, we plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. Now notice in that hymn, it talks about ploughing and scattering good seed. There is a reference to seed. And seeds are what Paul is talking about in the book of Corinthians. See, he's using them, seeds, as an object lesson to teach us something about ourselves. So first point, death is needed for life. Death is needed for life. This is what Paul wrote. Just look down with me in your Bibles. He writes, "What you sow does not come to life unless it dies." That's verse 36 if you're following along. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. I have brought with me this morning a seed. Can you see it here, this seed? It is a seed for a flower called a lupin. Now, I love lupin plants and lupin flowers. I think they're a magnificent addition to your garden. But the problem is with lupins, they seem to be there one moment, then they're gone. They just don't seem to last very long at all. And this seed, in fact, used to be on a lupin plant. Let me tell you what happened. The flower grew, but then the flowers, the petals died, and behind the flower petals, there was a little pod. And inside this pod were these seeds. If you open those pods too early, these seeds will be still green. They are alive. But after you've waited just a short amount of time, really, they go like this one here this morning, dormant, lifeless, dead. But then you take this seed, you put it in soil with a bit of water, and you wait. And before too long, from this dead, lifeless seed, life comes. So do you see? Unless that flower withers up and dies, new life will not come. Now, what's that got to do with me, you might ask? Why are you teaching me about plants and seeds and lupins? What's that got to do with me on a harvest service? Well, let's read again what Paul said. So verse 35, "But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish! What you sow does not come to life unless it dies." So Paul is talking about us. He says, you want to know what it's like for people? Just look at the seeds. So God, every single year, is trying to get your attention. In creation, in the natural world, he has placed a massive reminder so you will know what will happen to you. So seeds die, and then new life comes. That cycle happens every single year. And God wants us to know, every time we see that cycle happening, every time we see the flowers dying, the seeds going on the floor and then growing again, he wants us to remember or realise the same will happen to us. Now that is really good news. That is reason to celebrate. There is no need to be scared of what happens after death. Because if you're a Christian, the seed reminds us that death leads to life. But Paul isn't done. Point two, he writes, "When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined. And to each kind of seed, he gives its own body." Now, earlier I showed you a lupin seed, right? At home, we planted them quite recently. And the theory is, it's the wrong time of year really to plant them, but the theory is we're hoping to establish it, and so next year it will be ready to go and we'll get some glorious flowers from these lupin plants. So we planted them to try and give them a head start, and here's one of them. Can you see? So we planted this tiny little lupin seed, and what we did not expect is just for a bigger version to spring out of the soil. Absolutely not. If you plant a seed, that seed has a body, so to speak. So if you plant a tomato seed, you'll get something with a tomato plant body, if you like. And in the same way, when I planted this lupin seed, one day I had someone run in very excited to tell me that it started to grow. And a seed hadn't popped out. It had a body. It was something completely different. A few weeks ago now, some of us from our church family met at Bent Garden Centre, and it was a nice time being together. There was a sandpit to play in for the children. There was also scones to eat and toast. Some people went and got some free samples from the food hall. But if you're going to Bent, and any garden centre, you'll actually see there are so many different plants, loads of different varieties. And I appreciate some things grow from bulbs, some things come from seeds. But it is incredible to see the whole variety of things from a simple seed. A seed goes in, yet depending on the seed, a different body will come out of the soil. God himself, Paul teaches us in this passage, has decided or assigned the body to each type of seed. So get this. God has decided what body you and what body I will have after death. How much more impressive is the plant than the seed? Way more impressive. How much more impressive is the sun than the moon? Way more impressive. And in the same way, when this body, seed, dies, that's you and me, our bodies, God will give us a new, glorious body. He has already decided what he's going to allocate to us. You'll notice at the end of the verses that we read, verse 40 onwards, we see this massive contrast. And when we get to the end of those verses, we see that our body, this is verse 42 onwards, is perishable, but the one we will get will be imperishable. This body is dishonourable, the one we will get will be raised in glory. This one is weak, the one we will get will be raised in power. This one's natural, the one we will get will be spiritual. Now that's good news. God wants you to know this. And that's why he has ordered the world in such a way that there are seeds and there are flowers. So there are seeds and then a body that grows. So every year he is reminding us that what is to come for us is far superior. Now, the older you get and the more you feel your vulnerability, your weakness and your frailty, the older you get and your physical strength goes and your mind is no longer as sharp, and the older we get, these things come as a great sadness to us. But as we look forward, we must realise that the best is yet to come. So today in this room, there are probably some of us that are still in our prime. Well, you just take a look at those with a few more wrinkles. Realise that one day they will be far more glorious than you are now. Let that humble you. And for those of us this morning who have real aches and pains, those of us who have real ongoing health concerns and perhaps daily frustrations and pain, realise that you are just a seed, and one day you will be given the imperishable, glorious, powerful, spiritual body that God has assigned for you. Final point. We didn't read this. I'm going to explain some verses that come prior to our reading. This specifically is verse 22 in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him." When we planted these lupin seeds, one before too long appeared, it popped out, and then nothing happened. We planted, I can't remember, about 6 or 8 of them, and nothing happened to the other 7 or 5 or whatever it was. I started to get a little bit concerned. Should I have been concerned? No, why not? Because I'd seen one grow. I'd seen the pattern happen. I'd seen a seed go into the ground and the lupin grow. And so because I had seen it happen before, I should have been expecting it. Now, do you get the point? These are the words of Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." So one impacts the many. Jesus' death leads to life for many. Our sin resulted in death, but Jesus took that death on himself for the many. When we believe in him, we are united to him in his death, but also in his new life. I planted the lupin seed, one grew, then many grew. And in the same way, Jesus, he is the first fruits, the one who has already come back to life, who has beaten death. And just because he has done it, we've seen the pattern. We can be confident that because Jesus was raised, those who are united to him will also be raised. I hope this morning that you can see why we are talking about seeds and death and new bodies at harvest time. See, there isn't a single person in this room that this is not relevant to. Now, you might think that church is irrelevant. You might think it has nothing to say in to you or speaking to your life, but you couldn't be more wrong. Because every single person in this room will have to face their own death at some point. That is a fact of life. And in a world that either makes a joke of death or puts its head in the sand about death or tries to avoid death, this morning we're actually facing up to it and seeing how we can prepare for death. What do you do if you have something to remember that's really important? Maybe you set a reminder on your phone or write it down, make a note somewhere or leave the item you need to remember with your keys or whatever it is. Or maybe you say to someone, will you remind me about this particular thing? And that basically means you can forget about it and blame them if they don't remind you. But you do something, don't you, to make that thing you have to remember obvious. And God has done precisely that in Harvest. He has made what will happen to us after we die obvious. He has shown us a pattern that a seed dies, but then new life comes. He has shown us that the body is different to the seed. And he shows us that when one pops out, we're confident that the rest are on the way. I wonder this morning, are you in Christ? I've got many lupin seeds at home. Some are sat in a container ready in my shed, ready to plant next year. But let me tell you, if I do not plant those seeds, they will not grow. There will be no life. They will remain dead, lifeless, and dormant. If you do not put your trust in the Lord Jesus, then all these wonderful things that we've been talking about this morning will not be true for you. The Lord Jesus longs that you would turn to him, that you would trust him, and that you would live a life to the full that is not wasted, a life centered on him. This harvest time, please learn the lesson from the seed. See that God wants you to know what happens next, and he wants you to do something about it in the here and now, so you are prepared for eternity. If you want to know more about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, please speak to me after the service. I will be only too pleased to explain to you again more fully what it means to trust in Jesus. Amen.